Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Caso neve de Jesus.
Thank you.
Bosite ne agada murushide esto.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Heavenly Father, we're so honored today, Lord God, as always, for this time, Lord, of fellowship with you, Lord God, for this time of hearing from you, for this time, Lord God, of growing, this time of gaining understanding and wisdom, Lord God. This time of blessing, Lord God. This time of correction.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for this time. Yeah. Lord, your word says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 14, that the sons of God are led by your Spirit. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for a time of worship that is governed by Holy Ghost today. And so we do yield ourselves and surrender ourselves to Him, spirit, soul, and body. We thank you, Lord God, for there is in your word promised the capacity to yield your thinking and have the mind of Christ. And so we thank you, Lord God, that this morning as my wife and I yield ourselves, Lord, that there is in us, Father, a complete understanding and surrender that results, Lord God, in every heart being touched this morning, Lord. Thank you. I thank you, Father, for that is our desire today for this special worship time. And Lord, we give you and you alone all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter number 33. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah chapter number 33, verse number 6. And I want to read it from the Amplified Classic. Was called the Amplified Classic. What has come to be known as the Amplified Classic is the only Amplified in my eyes. They have a newer one that just is very different, and I don't appreciate as much. That's being very nice. Okay. All right. Verse number 6. And there shall be stability in your times, an abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge, the reverent fear and worship of the Lord is your treasure and His. And so we see some things that are connected with the reverent fear of the Lord. First of all, there's a heart. There's a heart that is associated with the reverent fear of the Lord. It's one that treasures Him. One that places high value on Him. See, if you don't treasure Him, then there's not an awe of His speaking, an awe of His moving, a regard for hearing from Him. But when your heart does treasure it, He said His does too. And then there are things associated with it. Stability in your time. Abundance. Salvation. Wisdom. Knowledge. All of that's associated with that reverent fear, or that worship, that awe, that love of God. All those things are associated with it. And we've been talking about the fear of the Lord, and let's read another passage of scripture before I go on. First Chronicles. Chapter 16. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Sorry, 2 Chronicles. My bad. That didn't look right. 2 Chronicles 16, verse number 9. Sorry about that Bible, man. I know I tripped you up right there. Thanks for flowing with me. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." So this is a constant activity of God. It says, "His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth." It's like he looks, and then he looks again, and then he looks again. It's like, man, if one pops up, I don't want to miss him. If somebody that at one time was of another thought process and attitude, once they change, I want to catch them right away. You see that? So he looks to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking for something, looking for somebody, I should say, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Amen? Amen. So think about it. Now, if he is doing this constantly, what's his desire? To show himself strong. He's looking for somebody who have a perfect heart. He said, "Man, I can't wait to support you. I can't wait to make you strong. I can't wait for people to see what God does for those whose heart is perfect."
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's this saying, I don't think I've ever seen it in scripture, but God helps those who help themselves. Mm-hmm. That ain't what this is talking about. Mm-hmm. See, the world will try to give us all the different answers in how we can make something happen. But if you think about it, if I'm a child of God Almighty, And he has not called me to toil, to have heavy labor. He's called me to walk a life that is blessed. Then I'm going to look at this situation. I'm going to say, now, I could probably work this out, but why should I? The one who has the perfect answer, the perfect way, who can miraculously turn it around without any other effort being given other than my trusting in him.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that and live that kind of life. And the world will try to convince us that, you know, we want to do it because we want to get all the accolades. We want to do it because we want to get the star on our forehead. We want to do it because we want to say, oh, look at me. Look what I did. No, no, no. I don't need that kind of credit.
Yeah. God said, let me be the star.
Yes.
Let me be the star. He said, if you need me, he said, I want to come and show myself.
Yes, yes.
See? And so I had another way of saying that popular saying, God helps those that help themselves. God helps those that submit themselves.
Hello. There you go.
Or God helps those that surrender themselves.
There you go.
Those are the ones that God help. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you helping yourself, you saying, I don't need no help. Have you ever tried to help somebody that say they don't need no help? And you in the way or they get angry. Leave me alone. I got this. Amen. Amen. And so God said, I help those that surrender themselves. And that's really when it says whose heart is perfect toward him. That's what that means. That means somebody whose heart is fully committed.
Yeah.
Fully committed. And let me just put it this way. Fully committed on receiving his help.
Yes.
Fully
yes.
committed to receive his support.
Right.
Fully committed to allowing him to strengthen me.
Right.
Do you see that? Amen. This is a heart that doesn't hold anything back. This is a heart that's not embarrassed to have God search and look into and correct or allow him to tell you what his will is and allow him to tell you what pleases him.
Yeah.
See, sometimes I think we want to determine what pleases God, and God wants us to allow him to teach us what pleases him.
Amen.
You know, Hold on one second.
Uh-oh, uh-oh.
To allow him to teach us what pleases him. Man, y'all awful quiet out there. Do I need to come down here? Y'all can test 1, 2, 3, listen, God has from the very start, when he got people, when he helped those folks escape from Egypt, the first thing that he did was teach them how to worship. And that's the first thing he instructed Moses in. Moses said, "Is there go God up on that mountain?" And he come traipsing up there, and God said, "Wait a minute. Take your shoes off. This ain't ground right here. This ground ain't like the rest of the ground. This holy ground right here. And so I want to help you to know the protocol. When you come up here in the presence of the Almighty, some things got to be different because you don't want this almightiness to explode on you. You want this almightiness to be in support of you. You want this almightiness to strengthen you. You want this almightiness to help you." Man, so God has to help us. He has to teach us the fear of the Lord, or the awe, or that reverence, that regard. That regard. And I tell you, there are a lot of folk that really don't have none today.
None.
Let me just take that a step further. There's a lot of folk that go to church all the time.
Yes.
That don't have any reverence for him.
Yeah.
That treat him very nonchalantly.
Yeah.
that just like Moses, they want to walk up in their slides. What's up, God? You know, with their slides and their coffee, and you know, while they're going through Instagram, when they hear everybody else, oh, amen, Pastor.
Oh, amen, amen.
See, you're not here to learn how to make pastor happy. Amen. You're not here to learn pastor's will. You're here to learn the will of the Almighty and to allow Him to help your heart to be consistent and anchored in what pleases Him.
Yeah. And I think some of that comes from not really having the kind of relationship God intended for you to have with Him. Because as you spend time with Him, you start realizing, oh, wow, this is God. He's my Father. He's my Creator. But He's God. He's the one that created everything I can see in this earth. This is the one who hungers for me more than I hunger for Him.
Come.
But I'm going to reverently worship Him. And I'm reverently worshiping Him because I love His presence. Not what I'm trying to get from being in His presence, but I love Him. And I just want to be in His company. And then all the other stuff gets added. But I just want to be in His company.
Man. Glory. All right, let's. Oh, I got to take a little different route. Go to Isaiah chapter number 11. Isaiah chapter number 11, verse number 1. When you get there, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Okay, wait.
So glory.
Thank you.
I didn't say praise Pastor A. I didn't say any of that. I said say praise the Lord.
Let me just kind of Yeah.
See that true reverent fear and regard and esteem for God will cause you to say that different, to never play with it.
Amen.
I said to never play with it.
Amen.
Amen. How often? Hey, raise your hand if you do this. Do you stick a hanger in the electric socket? How often? Anybody? I didn't say that you ever did. Oh, you did it once. Okay. Yeah, that's all right. Why don't you do that? How come you don't do it sometime? Because the same power is there all the time. And if God is the same God, if He's always almighty, then I should always respond to Him with the same kind of respect that I respond to the wall socket with. Shouldn't I give Him the same respect?
At least.
How often do you walk outside with a lightning storm with an umbrella up over you? You don't do that with a golf club. Things that you know will attract that power and then conduct it, and it'll go, run right through that umbrella and right through you. You don't do that. Amen?
Amen.
I pray you don't. But you have an awe for that power.
Amen.
And how many of y'all know it'd be better to be wet than to have that power? Yeah, flow into you. This is what the fear of the Lord is. It has to do with recognizing the holiness that you're honoring. This is recognizing the wisdom and recognizing the ability that you're worshiping and always standing in awe and saying, you know what? I always want to approach this with the same kind of awe like Moses did when he took his shoes off. I want to make sure that in my approach, there's always some respect.
Amen.
I want to make sure that when there's an amen going forth, that I include mine. Because I'm standing in his presence. And listen, because of the way Moses responded to that presence, his life was never the same.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question about that encounter. Because, God was up on that mountain minding his business. And Moses saw something up there. And Moses said, and the Bible says, the angel of the Lord saw that Moses turned aside. In other words, Moses said, you know what? I'm going to go see what God is doing up there. Now, when he got up there, God said, take your shoes off. I wonder if he didn't take his shoes off, if God would have said anything to him. See, any place that God's not respected, he never shows up. And if he do, even if he does, woe on you. Because he wasn't respected in Sodom and Gomorrah. And when he showed up, there wasn't no respect. How many of y'all know they didn't have a party? It was his judgment that showed up. It was his judgment. And so we always want to have the proper reverence for God. And it comes from our hearts.
Amen. 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 Oh.
Or yep. It should come. Excuse me. It should come from our hearts.
Amen.
For most people, it comes from their memory. It comes from rules. I in our midweek service or midweek broadcast, I talked about the fact that Jesus quoted a scripture that said, this people's heart is far from me, and they have been taught to worship, or the Old Testament says, they've been taught to fear me, the rules of men, or it says the precepts of men.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, they got some rules, like a lot of churches have. Your dress can only be so long. You can't wear no makeup. You can't go to the movie theater. And all of those are rules. But God said, those things don't bring your heart close to me. What
Amen.
God wants
Amen.
Are the things that bring your heart close. And so God is always trying to instruct you in a service on how to get your heart close. So that you can have that Moses kind of encounter where he begins to tell you exactly who you are.
Yeah.
He said, you're the deliverer. You ain't going back to them sheep. You left the sheep. That's good. Because you're not going back to the sheep. I'm going to have you lead these people like sheep.
Hmm. Okay, so I ain't went nowhere. This is where I was getting ready to go.
Oh.
Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes what's hard for pastors, those who are really called of God, what's hard for them is when they know what God wants for his people. And there are just all kind of obstacles and distractions and all kind of stuff keeping you off focus of what's truly worth your time. So I'm going to start here. How many of you just got, you got stuff that has just kind of, it's almost becoming overwhelming. I want you to stand up. I ain't going to call nobody out, but if that's you, I just want you to stand up.
And even if you don't have stuff, but you feel overwhelmed.
You don't know why, but you do. Who is that? Who is that? Who is that? Okay. Now, first of all, I want you to look around.
Ski
look around. Because the first lie the enemy will try to tell you is just you. It ain't nobody else. You got issues. You unholy. You disrespectful. You this, I always like to think, if I were not a danger to the kingdom of darkness, he wouldn't even bother knocking at my door. So look at somebody and just, if you can reach and just kind of pat them on their shoulder and say, girl, listen, dude, you got this going on. The enemy thought it was worthwhile to darken your doorstep. Now I want you to sit down. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I think we confuse worshiping God with whether or not we get emotional about it. There are a lot of times I worship God, I don't feel like it, but I worship him because I love him, I respect him, and that's what he expects me to do. And there's always benefits to it, and it has absolutely nothing to do with my feelings. Nothing. Look at somebody and say, stop counting on your feelings. So now this is what I want you to do. I want you to take this moment and ask Holy Spirit to help you redirect your attention to God. And allow him to take you on this journey that God wants to take you on. There are people's lives that are counting on you getting to where God wants you to go. God did not intend for us to struggle and to be stressed out and to worry and to fear whether or not it's going to work out. Listen, if God is for you, it's got to work out. It can't do anything but work out if you trust him. And trust has nothing to do with your feelings. I tell people all the time, listen, there are times when it is seemingly so overwhelming that I am in tears, but I still praise and I thank God. Even when I don't even understand what I'm saying, he understands because I understand. Yes, yep, that, yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
God understands. Stop trying to be this spiritual macho person. Because you're not. But you are a child of God who has the guarantee of him being a part of every area of your life. When you look at him as being the source of every area of your life, no matter what happened yesterday, no matter what is threatening to happen tomorrow, right here, right now, God is my source. Right here, right now, God is your source. Right here, right now, God is your strength. Right here, right now, God is your peace. Right here, right now, God is your joy.
Now, that whole sense of being overwhelmed has to do with the idea or the perception that where you are right now, you cannot overcome or handle all of the things on your plate. Amen? Amen. And so we talked about now that God, the eyes of the Lord, search where? To and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. If he's strong, then the one he's showing himself strong on behalf of must be weak. 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 He don't know. If you're strong, you don't need him. But if you're weak, what you need? Whose strength? His strength. So that's what he's looking for. Because, see, if I help you and you're strong, then you'll get the glory. Look at how strong they are. Let me use another word. Look at how wise they are. Look how good they are at business. Look how good they are at developing relationships and being able to take advantage of those. Look at how they prospered. Look at how good they are. But you will say, God is great. If you look at somebody that you know don't have the capacity to do the things that they're accomplishing right now, yes, you'll say, ooh, look at how good God is. That's why the scripture says that God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. See, he used the fool. He take a fool and say, let me show you something, what this fool can do. A fool that'll surrender to me, let me show you what they can do. Let me show you what they can do.
Yes.
So we're talking about this reverent awe of the Lord. And going back to that whole overwhelmed idea, the first thing you want to do, because if you're feeling overwhelmed, then thank you, Lord. Mm-mm-mm. You have magnified the things
that
you're facing.
Yes.
You made them look bigger than they is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember, God sent them and God said, look, I done gave you this land. I want you to go see. Ain't the land a land of milk and honey? Ain't it a rich land and one to be desired? They went out there. They said, woo, it's everything you said. But the people is too big for us. What'd they do? Magnified the people. I don't know if anybody ever read in the scripture where it said magnify the people, magnify the problem. No, it said magnify the Lord.
Yeah.
Do what?
Magnify the Lord.
Magnify the Lord. So the first thing I got to do is I have to change my thinking. Once I change my thinking, then my heart will change.
Yeah.
Because if I change my thinking and begin to look toward him, then I am treasuring his divine intervention. And I'm saying, you know what? I believe God heard my prayer when I asked him about this situation. And so instead of being sad and discouraged or feeling afraid, I'm going to let my heart stand in awe of him and believe him for his provision. Believe him for his protection. Believe him for his strength. Believe him for his wisdom. Believe him for his peace. I'm going to believe him.
Yes,
and then my
heart
fears him. My heart say, just like Moses, oh, man, this holy ground right here. Instead of staying in the bed, let me get up and kneel next to this bed because I believe this place that I prayed, this holy ground.
Thank you, Lord.
This is holy ground.
And, you know, sometimes I am almost positive and almost 100% of the time, if it feels overwhelming, it's because you don't know how to work it out. He didn't ask you to work it out. He just asked you to trust him. He didn't ask you to be the answer. He asked you to trust him. If I keep looking to my own resources, listen, I done jacked up a whole lot of things over the past few years. Oh, I'm the only one. Okay. Y'all so holy. And how many times have I messed it up when I just knew this was the answer. And then when I went to that I was so positive was the answer, it flopped.
I just thought about when she said you work it out. I thought about this song I used to listen to every Sunday morning.
Yes.
Jesus. Yes. Come on, Brenda. You know, Jesus will work it out. Work it out how you going to pay your rent. Work it out all your money spent. Okay. Sorry.
You have got to start getting a bigger picture of who your God is. And his love for you. Paul says nothing can separate you from the love of God. Stop thinking about the sweet by and by. Stop thinking about after the rapture when we're all. No, let's talk about here and now. Yeah. God is able.
Yeah.
So, not only is he able, he's willing.
So let me go back to Isaiah chapter 33, verse number 6, the scripture we started off with. This scripture should heal everybody from being overwhelmed. Look at what this scripture says. This scripture says, and Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, and strength and salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. I'm sorry. Put up the Amplified Classic of that. That's what we read. I said, this don't sound right. And there shall be stability in your times. Anybody want stability in their time? Amen. Yeah, yeah. And so we see the stability comes from those who have a reverent fear and worship of the Lord. When that's your treasure, guess what his treasure is? That heart that reverently fears him.
Amen. Amen.
That's his what? His treasure.
Yeah.
His treasure. Now watch this. In Matthew chapter number 6, it talks about lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. And lay up treasures for yourself in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Then at the end of that passage, I didn't quote the whole thing. At the end of the passage, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So when you treasure the Lord, where's your heart? Didn't we just read that he's looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose is with the Lord? Didn't we just read that? It is the solution for being overwhelmed. He said, if your heart is perfect towards me. And remember, I said that it's not a perfect heart that doesn't have flaw. It is a heart that's fully committed. A heart that's fully committed to him. A heart that is not ashamed to have him examine it. A heart that will move with things that he loves and love the things that he loves and hate the things that he hates. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go back to Isaiah 11:6 in the King James. I think we can find a place, hopefully, here to kind of quit for the day. Amen.
I got something to say.
Welcome.
But you go here first.
Isaiah 11:1. Thank you, Lord. All right. Now this passage of scripture is talking about Jesus. Okay? This is a prophecy about Jesus. One of the prophetic names of Jesus is the branch. That's why in this verse, the word branch is capitalized, because it is one of the prophetic names of Jesus. He's called the branch, all right? And so when Isaiah is talking here, he's using a branch as an illustration of what Christ will be. And he says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Jesse, by the way, is David's father. All right. And so he's just saying that Jesus is going to come in that lineage. All right. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Verse 2. Now watch this. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom. And the Spirit of understanding. And the Spirit of counsel. And the Spirit of might, and the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. And the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Wow. Wow. And so one of what we commonly refer to as the sevenfold manifestation, or the seven different ways that Holy Spirit expresses himself, one of those ways is the fear of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it doesn't mean that there are seven Holy Spirits, but there are different ways that Holy Spirit expresses himself. Yes. He expresses himself as the Spirit of wisdom.
Yes.
He expresses himself as the Spirit of might. Yes. But he also expresses himself as the Spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
And this scripture is talking about ways that Holy Spirit would manifest himself in the life of Jesus. And if Jesus needed the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, anybody else in here need? Just one, two? Okay. All right. Let me say, anybody else in here want the Spirit of? Yeah. All right. Yeah. So let me show you how this manifestation of the Spirit of the fear of the Lord operates. Okay. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Okay. Now, the English translation is a little bit nebulous. Like, what is a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord? Other translations translate it this way, and his delight will be in the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
But that's not, for me, it's not quite exactly the translation that I believe communicates the thought that God was communicating here. All right? So where it says quick understanding, the Hebrew word ruach is what's translated quick understanding. The Hebrew word ruach means spirit or breath or wind. And so he shall make him of quick breath in the fear of the Lord. Of quick breath in the fear of the Lord. And the other thing that challenges us here is the fact that the word quick doesn't mean fast. The word quick is an old English word that means alive. So a living understanding or a short breath. And so what that's saying, I believe, is this, that there is a sensitivity. There is a living kind of knowledge or understanding. When you have a living understanding, it's fresh in your memory, and you know exactly what they're talking about. And so this quick understanding, it is like the fear of the Lord. When you hear something from the scripture, or when you hear the truth taught, or when God speaks to you, you immediately, you know it right away. Let me ask you, how long it take you? Have your breath ever got cut off? And do you stop what you're doing, or do you keep doing? You stop everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. To address what's going on with your breath. And so God wants us to be that way about his fear. So when he speaks, do I keep doing what I was doing? I stop whatever I'm doing to see exactly what he's saying right now. There is a response that is generated because of the degree of regard I have for God talking right now. Or even the opportunity to hear from God. He might not be saying nothing, but that don't mean he ain't available. Amen. And the potential of him showing up makes me go, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord will do that in you, so that when God speaks, when God moves, when you pray, because when you pray, is there an opportunity for God to speak?
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
And you'll stand in such reverence that it will, the common saying is, take your breath away. His beauty, his goodness, his holiness, his mercifulness, his kindness, his generosity, his peace, his wisdom. Oh, watch this. It says it'll make him of quick understanding, or I wrote down immediately responding. Or a sense or a prompting or knowing beyond my natural mind that something's going on, God's speaking or he's wanting to speak, and so I stop everything. That is what the spirit of the fear of the Lord does. And it says now, when that happens, he'll not judge after the sight of his eyes. Your natural judgment is not, you won't even, I ain't going by that. Neither reprove or convict is a better translation of that word as translated reprove. Neither convict after the hearing of his ears. It's not going to be natural evidence that will cause me to say yay or nay. But my awe of the Almighty. Can you see this totally changes faith? Because God promised.
Yes.
Isn't that how fear responds? Doesn't fear respond like this? Fear doesn't immediately do anything. Fear just... And that's what God wants every heart, or that's the response God wants every heart to have toward him. Because that heart, he can teach. That heart,
yes,
he can depend on.
Yes.
That heart, he can work with.
Yeah. And he's not waiting for us to be perfect to do it.
No, no. No.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hmm? Thank you, Lord.
Glory. You know, all glory. In Hebrews chapter number 4, it says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched or moved with the feeling of our weakness. Because he was tempted as we are. So he remembers what it's like. And so when he spots weakness, he says, oh. Because he's touched with what that was like, how overwhelming that felt.
Yeah.
He's touched.
Yeah.
Now let me take that back to the other side. So then that tells me that when God responds to something, if I'm touched, I'm not touched with weakness. I'm touched with strength. Huh. I'm touched with wisdom. Huh. I'm touched with peace. Huh. I'm touched with holiness. So that my heart senses what God feels like, the same way Jesus senses what we feel like in weakness, we can be touched with what he feels like in strength.
Yes, yes.
Let me ask you one more question, so then I think we can end. Do you think he ever feel overwhelmed?
No.
If you're Almighty, you ever feel overwhelmed?
No.
Not at all. Not at all. And so I want to pray for us today. But not yet.
I told him I had something to say. You know, some of you have gone through our layman's Bible school. We're prayerfully looking at ways to reestablish that. But, you know, if you have, you know I like to give homework assignments. And so, you know, there is the, I so appreciated the ministry of Kenneth Hagin when he was here in the earth. Because he never discounted the natural side, the flesh, because you got to deal with it. But one of the things that has got me through so many things that are unexplainable outside of the phrase, but God. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11, so as I get ready to read this, I need you to keep in mind who God is. God is not bound by time. What was, is, and is to come is all right there together, which is kind of hard to try to imagine and understand in our finite thinking. But God is not bound by time. So what he will do or how he will move, he's already done it. How he will save, how he will redeem, he's already done it. That's why scripture talks about the fact that Jesus was crucified for us before the foundations of the world. But here's what I found so interesting in Isaiah 28, verse 11. God says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this stammering lips, this other tongue, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary, the overwhelmed to rest. This is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Now, keep that in mind, and let's go over to Hebrews chapter 3. This is to give you a connect the dots as you determine to walk in a deeper walk with God, as you determine to walk in a reverential fear with God Almighty. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 18, it says, "And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not?" So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." The rest of God is when you have peace, even though you may be surrounded by your enemies. You're not moved. They can't move against you even if they wanted to, because of this rest. Now let's talk about what this rest is, what this stammering lips. I know some of you know, but maybe some of you don't. Speaking in other tongues, the stammering lips, is a language that you don't understand. But let's look at what Paul has to say about it. Oh, in Jude 20, Jude is only one chapter, Jude 20, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Listen, folks, if you don't do anything else, you need to increase your prayer time, which builds up your faith, which builds up your reverence, which builds up your connection with God, which builds up your sensitivity to hearing when Holy Spirit is talking to you. I remember when I asked Holy Spirit, "I need you, because I don't know what I'm doing, so I need you to teach me how to worship. Teach me how to pray." One of the things that Jesus said to the disciples when he was in the garden, he says, "Listen, I just want you to stay right here, and I want you to pray." And then they kept falling asleep. They kept falling asleep. They kept falling asleep. He finally said, "What, could you not pray for 1 hour so that you would not enter the temptation? It may come. It may knock at your door, but you don't have to enter." And so when we pray in the Spirit, we're allowing Holy Spirit to pray through us. We are connecting with God Almighty. We are connecting with heaven. And we're building ourselves up. And then all those different aspects of Holy Spirit start to become clear to you. All those different aspects of his walk with you, how he leads and how he guides you, how he brings about victory when you can't explain it. How you'll have peace when you don't even understand why you have peace, because you know, looking in the natural, this is overwhelming. How he will give you strength when you feel like you have none left. And the bottom line, God says, this is the rest, but they would not. We've got to stop trying to do this ourselves. We got to stop trying to do this in our own understanding, in our own strength, in our own might. And a lot of times when we're dealing with that, half the time we're offended at somebody because we're tired from trying to walk it out in ourselves. And so now I'm offended. I'm in unforgiveness. Then I go around searching for someone to join my party. Then I get mad at them because they won't join my party. And so it goes on and on. And God is saying, stop. Just rest. Rest in the rest that I have already established. Rest in the healing I've already given. Rest in the prosperity I have already laid before you. Rest in the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that I have already provided. It's in you. You have it. Let's pray. Stir it up. Bring out what is already yours. And glorious things start happening when you consistently pray in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. When you consistently increase your prayer time, knowing by faith that stuff is happening, even though your mind is saying, "Can we watch TV or something? I think we should go have some breakfast. You know them dishes you didn't wash? Why don't we just go on downstairs and wash the dishes? You ain't washed them by now. Them dishes are wait." Pray. Glorious things happen when you pray. When you pray in the Spirit. Listen, there's only so much you can pray in your own understanding because you don't even know what to pray half the time when stuff is going on, but Holy Spirit does.
Yeah. And this, the scripture that she read said, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering in, any of you should seem to come short.
Yeah.
Huh? It says, stand in awe of him. Why? Because he's looking for that heart to show himself strong so that the promise won't ever, you won't ever seem to come up short of the promise.
Things happen when we pray in the Spirit. Amen. Glorious things happen when we pray in the Spirit. You know, God has given us ways in which Holy Spirit expresses himself through us to benefit us at all times. And they're called the 9 gifts of the Spirit. He didn't just give them to us just to, you know, pop up one here, pop up one there. It says so that we profit with all, so that, you know, so all the different things that are necessary for me to walk this supernatural life here in the earth where the rules of the world don't apply to me, he's given me. So my assignment for you this week, I told you I was going there. My assignment for you this week.
Well, let's pray first.
Okay.
And then you can give the assignment.
All right.
Let's all stand up.
I'm coming back.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Remember, the Holy Spirit expresses himself as the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which means he will train you in all of the proper protocol that's necessary to properly enter into God's rest, to secure every promise, and to enjoy his presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so we want to pray this morning, because for this the idea of the fear of the Lord is just a little bit of a struggle, a confusing, like, you know, what is that? It's something that will rise up on the inside of you. And that will change the way that you approach God. It'll change the way that you think. It'll change your response to people. It'll change the way you look at people. You won't judge people the same. Remember, it says he won't judge after his eyes. In other words, you won't look at people and cut them up anymore. Nor will he judge after the hearing of his ears. You won't listen to people talk and automatically pass judgment against them. But it'll be your fear and awe of God that will rise up and cause you to look at people with the compassion of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And this is available to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
The scripture says he gives Holy Spirit. It says if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give Holy Spirit to those that ask him?
Yes.
Glory. That's not saying everybody is evil, but it says when you compare your desire and your will for your children to what God desires for us, that it is as far from God as an evil, wicked man is.
Yeah.
And he's saying God's desire for you is so far greater than we could ever, ever have desire for our children. That's how much he wants you to have Holy Spirit operating as the spirit of the fear of the Lord in you. And I want to pray for that this morning, because this changes our worship. It changes our prayer. It changes our Bible reading. It changes church attendance. Yes. It changes our giving. This changes how you treat your spouse. This changes how you look at folks. It changes everything. Everything. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. In other words, I do everything first to please Him. And some things right now, we recognize you might not be as pleasing as you like. Or you may have defined it yourself. He wants to define what that protocol is.
Yes.
So I want to pray for everyone right now. And it's important for you. Your heart has to desire to have Holy Spirit come in and train you and search your heart and help you to quickly respond or immediately respond to what it feels like to God, to what He loves. Respond to what He hates. Respond to the ways He wants to change you. Respond to difficult things. Heavenly Father, I pray for this congregation right now, as well as those that are watching online, not just the people here in the sanctuary, but those watching online. I pray, Lord God, that the spirit of the fear of the Lord would make us of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. So just the thought of you showing up makes us go, oh. And your voice makes us go, oh. And the knowledge of your will makes us go, oh. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we'll not be ashamed to be emotional. We'll not be ashamed to be excited. We'll not be ashamed to jump, to run, to sing, to shout. To bow, to cry, to kneel. We're never embarrassed, Lord God, by the way that our heart moves us to honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that for some, Lord, today, maybe for the first time, that manifestation of the spirit of the fear of the Lord will include praying in tongues. And I thank you, Lord God, that no one will judge after their eyes, nor after the hearing of their ears, Lord God. But they'll just stand in awe of your supernatural intervention right now in their lives. I thank you, Lord. For in this place, Lord God, as well as online, you find hearts that are perfect toward you. And so we thank you, Lord God, that through this spirit of the fear of the Lord, that we find stability in our times. I thank you, we find wisdom and knowledge, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, there's a flow and an increase of salvation and deliverance and healing. I thank you, Lord God, that those promises that seem to be of none effect, Lord, or we seem to come short of them, I thank you, Lord God, that right now we seem to overflow in them, Lord God. The thing that overwhelms us, Lord, is your goodness. The thing that overwhelms us, Lord God, is your power and might, Lord God. The thing that overwhelms us is your holiness. Thank you, Lord. Ofrodigile besata. And we thank you, Lord God. Thank you for an abundance of your spirit, Lord God. And we give you and you alone. Oh, Lord, I don't want to neglect. There may be some folk that need to repent. For maybe your heart has been indifferent or apathetic toward God. Maybe your heart has been rebellious toward God. And so to perfect that heart, as you repent, you get rid of what was there. And Holy Ghost will replace it with fear and awe and regard and esteem. The fear of the Lord will become your treasure. And where your treasure is, there shall your heart be. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Kambratene. Ege malaso de ikibra. Hovro mase elabash. Nikebro usadel. Kandareso. Now, one of the things that I talked about is the fact that the scripture says, if you being evil give good gifts or know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? That's another one of those things where his eyes search to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to see who want him. Who wants him? I'm not trying to hoard him. I'm not trying to hold him back. In the name of Jesus. Glamalasiki de besoko de ikeste. You go ahead. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, I thank you, Lord God. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord God. Strengthen him right now in the name of Jesus. Strengthen his heart, Lord God. Strengthen every muscle, every fiber of his body, every tissue, Lord God. I thank you, Father. I thank you that your spirit makes him strong, Lord God. Oh, no, he didn't try to come up in here right when this message is ministered about making standing strong for those whose hearts are perfect. I thank you, Lord God, that you show yourself strong in this place today.